This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm a fan of a father and son playing together, so that's all I can say.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With the 55th pick, the Los Angeles Lakers select Bronny James.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If you can turn him into a point guard, I think there's the possibility he could have a pretty productive NBA career.
Earlier on the show, Giants linebacker Kayvon Thibodeau. Coming up, actor Oliver Platt, Texans linebacker Will Anderson Jr., host of American Ninja Warrior, Akbar Bajabiamila. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Oliver Platt of the Bear is going to be joining us in studio in about 20 minutes time. He is in our green room, and it is awesome. The Bear season 3. And I am such a diehard fan of the show. I cannot wait to start binge watching it coming up this weekend and next week. Just been doing a lot of other things, getting kids ready for camp and things of that nature to be able to get to it just this week. But he is outstanding in this show. Yeah. The show is outstanding, and I'm a fan of it to the point where I've got a Bear t-shirt. I'm going to switch in the middle of the commercial break to wear just for that. I've never done that before.
You're doing a wardrobe change?
I'm doing a wardrobe change. I'm like J-Lo.
Of all people, you just...
I'm a wardrobe change. Don't worry, it's just a t-shirt.
Okay.
It's not a lot. It won't take too much time. It's not like it'll be like a pit stop.
So it's not like an Elton John thing where you got to get like...
Oh, no. I won't have to get zipped in.
Gotcha.
You know? I'll be fine.
No spandex.
Will Anderson Jr. will be joining us on this program. Akbar Bajabiamila in studio in hour number three. We say hello to everybody out there on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have us listening in on maybe Sirius XM or Odyssey, our podcast, all 3 hours acquired. Where all podcasts can be acquired. We're playing win-loss games. I love when people just want to call in and do that. Our phone lines are lit. We'll get to that as well. What's more likely about to hit here on the program. But congratulations to you, Chris Brockman.
Oh, man.
You pissed off another fan base.
Yes.
You're really good at that.
All right.
You're expert at that.
Thank
you,
sir.
Really are expert at that.
Thank you.
Yesterday,
no
when we...
safe?
Corrected the record on behalf of Jeffrey Simmons when he said that Derrick Henry had been wearing a purple tutu.
Yeah.
And we thought he was referring to the Ravens uniform as a ballet outfit.
Of course.
He was actually saying tutu is the number on that purple jersey, 22, tutu.
That's how I read it when he said it.
I did not.
I did not either.
You were the only one who read it that way.
Well, me and Jeffrey, I get him.
So, Bobby Trossett... I'm sorry if it's Trosse, or maybe it's like Guy Hebert. He was Trossett in high school, and now he's Trosse.
Guy Herbert.
Guy Herbert in high school, now he's Guy Hebert. Joe Theismann.
Then he starts
running with Heisman.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bruce Bobby Jenner. Picked that up in Baltimore, and then Jeffrey Simmons corrected the record as far as he was saying, and then we came on top of that by backing his play, because that's what we do for our guests. And then we took a look at the schedule, the Ravens schedule. And Chris, you look at how difficult that schedule was.
Tough start.
And you said potentially 1-4.
It's like, oh man, they could start 1-4.
I pissed off people in Baltimore.
Everyone's so sensitive. I mean, it's June. Like, you look at the tough games. Look, at Kansas City, at Dallas. They could easily lose those.
But Chris, I also asked you, as a betting man, would you bet on
it? It's a home game against the Vegas Raiders. You know, a 1 o'clock Eastern game, the Vegas Raiders. And I was pointing out that the Raiders would probably want to, you know, hit them in the mouth. They probably want to sweep the Harbaughs to start their season. They're at Jim in week one, and then they're at John week two. Then they're at Dallas, Baltimore is, with the Bills coming in for a Sunday nighter. So NBC puts the Ravens on TV twice in the first month, and you think at Cincinnati after that, they could go 1-4. You're giving them the Raiders as the one?
Yeah, that was going to be the one. If they should start 1-4, I would expect them to beat the Raiders.
Do you think they're going to start 1-4?
Like, honestly?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You said they could. I'm not saying give it your best guess.
I said they could. It seems unlikely. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen.
There's only
worst case scenario. They're 1-4 in the first 5 weeks.
Here's what I'm going to do for you.
Everyone needs to relax.
Here's what I'm going to do for you. Again, the week before, it was the Jaguars people that you pissed off. and then, like I already told you, you don't upset cat people. Don't upset cat people.
Now he's upsetting bird people, though.
Cats and birds. Yeah. There's only one thing we can do for you, Chris. Okay?
What's that, man?
Because you can't say for sure. We don't know for sure.
We don't have a crystal ball.
I don't have a crystal ball, man. You know what I mean?
Ah, even better.
The Magic 8-Ball. So what do you want me to do? What am I asking the Magic 8-Ball to help you out?
Ask the Magic 8-Ball.
Will the Ravens start 1-4?
Will the Ravens start 1-4?
All right. I'm not shaking up too much because every time I do that, the bubbles,
well, the bubbles and you
obscure
can't read
the
it.
Result.
Yeah.
I've shaken it up enough.
Just a light shake.
Here we go.
Drum roll.
You may rely on it.
Oh, no.
That's a shame.
Oh, good drop.
Please clip. I've already had to mute a bunch of people. Like, just please clip.
Here's what I want to
know. The Magic 8-Ball backs your play about the Ravens starting 1-4.
Do we know what these people are saying about you?
An awful announcing post that. Magic 8-Ball backs analyst play.
Rich, what are the Ravens fan base saying about him? Like,
they don't like him.
that's just
they're blogging, they're podcasting, they're pissed.
You're making blogs?
I think, yeah, he
yeah,
is.
Hold on, let me see what this guy actually said. He goes, Rich Eisen's co-host suggests co-host. Ravens could start this upcoming season going 1-4. And then it was a lot of comments after that.
But Chris, hold on a second.
The only thing more offended, the only person more offended than a Raven fan by that is me. Referring to him as a co-host.
Then what
so disrespectful.
What man. Am I?
I know what I am. I got my title. I'm color commentary.
I'm very happy.
You're the co-host.
I'm very happy we're being heard. Guy. That's please. In the engagement farming industry,
we are farming.
We want to be heard.
Engagement right
we want to be. We want to be heard more than anything else.
Yeah. Here we go. These clowns. We got called clowns.
Oh come on!
By one guy. Some guy Trent called us a clown.
Trent, that's wrong,
such
bro.
A bald
Let's
bastard.
See.
Fellers on fire today.
All right.
Two people call us a clown. Yeah.
All of us collectively
guys,
or just you?
Guys, get your act together.
Maybe they
collectively.
Just meant me.
Get
Maybe
your act together.
Clown, I amuse you.
Get your act together. Everybody.
All right.
You know, we're all face front. We're face front individuals here on this program. Co-hosts in the same boat.
Focus.
Yeah, that's why the windshield's bigger than the rear view. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna pull it together, and certainly later on in this hour, Chris, you have in honor of Oliver Platt of the Bear being here.
Yes.
Your power ranking of top bears.
I have a bear power ranking.
Okay, and not the bear, just bear
just
any bear.
Any
fantastic.
Bears. Yeah,
bears. That'll be great. Stay tuned for it.
Yeah. You'll win them back with that one. I'm
but
sure.
In the meantime, it's time for What's More Likely, presented by T. Rowe Price.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Chris, what do you have over
Hey,
there?
Guys, happy Friday. Good to see you.
Yes,
what's up,
sir?
Bro?
Okay, the Ravens. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
More likely breakout wide receiver to repeat their monster 2023 season. Now, they play each other week one. Puka Nacua or Amon-Ra St. Brown.
How dare you do this to me?
Cuts like a knife.
How dare you? Favorites.
How dare you?
I know. Sorry.
They're two favorite. Rich Eisen show favorites right there.
I'm going with Puka Nacua.
Ooh.
Over the sun
really?
God?
Yeah. I'm going with Puka.
Interesting.
You know why?
I don't know why.
Where's the Cooper Cup in the equation for Amon-Ra St. Brown?
I mean, Jameson Williams breakout coming?
Okay.
I can see it.
LaPorta, really, if we're being honest.
So now I said my answer, and now you're pushing back.
I mean,
you don't. What do you think is more likely?
Good co-host.
What's more likely?
Pushes back.
Nice. What's more likely?
That is actually in the co-host duties.
I'm asking the questions here.
Sub-hosts do that.
I have the co-host duties right here, as a matter of fact, printed out.
Wow. I don't know.
I'll go Puka Nacua.
True story.
I think both could probably repeat.
I don't know if Amon-Ra, and I push back on calling that a breakout season for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah,
I think he's already broken out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he goes from 1,100 to 1,600 yards.
Okay.
It's a pretty big breakout.
Yeah, 1,600 yards is a lot.
That's a lot of
yards. I'm going with Puka Nacua. What else?
All right. More likely, head coach in a new spot to most plus up their new team.
Ooh, plus up.
We talked about this the other day.
How dare you?
Jim Harbaugh, Dan Quinn.
How dare you even give me a question like
I know
that.
What Rich is going to say. He's going to say Dan Quinn.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Come on. One guy has a history of plussing up. Okay? I don't know what the Falcons were in Dan Quinn's first year. I doubt it was plus seven.
I mean, they were 28-3 in a Super Bowl.
Whatever. And one guy has Justin Herbert, and the other guy's got a rookie quarterback. Just that alone.
Rookie quarterback? He's got... Okay.
Got a rookie quarterback.
All right.
You already said that they're ranked 31 in your powerless rankings. Why?
I had the Chargers in that bottom 10 also.
Okay. Jim Harbaugh. Please.
Not a happy photo.
What else?
How about this one, Rich? This is just for you. The Jets possibly have two of the best players in fantasy football this coming
Breece
year.
Breece Hall and?
The Jets star to lead the team in yards and touchdowns. Breece or Garrett Wilson?
With all due respect to Garrett Wilson.
Oh.
Oh.
With all due respect to him.
I feel some disrespect.
There's no disrespect here. He is a ball-dependent player. He has to get the ball thrown to him. The other one gets it handed to him. The other one gets it handed to him by the backup. Last year, Breece Hall had a tremendous season with there being, it's an affront to Bermuda and triangles to call last year's Jets quarterback situation a Bermuda Triangle. And Breece Hall still put up numbers.
Garrett Wilson still at 1,000 yards, 95 catches.
Sir, I'm going with the guy who can run it and throw it and get it thrown to him over the guy who just gets it thrown to him. That's why I said, with all due respect, which allows me to say whatever I want to afterwards. I go Breece Hall.
That's a good point.
I go Breece Hall.
Okay. All right, did you see
the would say both, but you won't allow me to say such things.
Yeah, well, they're not going to tie in touchdowns. Thank you. Did you see the Al Michaels AI news?
I heard this
week. Kind of interesting. Al gave his blessing, so we're down with it.
That Peacock and NBC is using his AI voice to...
For Olympic highlights on mobile.
Sure.
How about the AI broadcast team you'd most want to watch do a game? Howard Cosell and the old Monday Night Football team, or Summerall and Madden?
Oh, wow.
This is not a what's more likely at all.
Yes, it is.
What's more likely for me to want to listen to him? Is that the way? Okay, yeah. Now, okay. Oh,
holy
man.
Cow, man.
Oh, I'll go. I mean, listen, Howard Cosell is why I'm in this business.
Truly an awesome spectacle.
How have we not done this yet, by the way?
What? Because I believe the same reason why the Monday Night Football archives are nowhere to be found anywhere. Because I believe the Cosell family prevents it from happening.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know.
Or I shouldn't say that. They're not into the idea. Where are the Monday Night Football archives on NFL Network? It should be all over the place.
Imagine AI Cosell right now?
Sure.
That would be...
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
So, I'll go there.
All right.
What else?
Rich, Aaron Judge just keeps hitting home runs.
That's true. So, Yankees can't win. They can't do anything, though. They went from one of the best teams to one of the worst teams in baseball.
Really slumping.
I know.
What's more likely? Judge hit 63-plus home runs this year, or four teams finished with over 100 wins?
Oh, man. Now you're making me call up the standings.
So right now there's five with over 50.
Well, I know that the Yankees are one of them, and they can't even suddenly drive 55. They're stuck on 52.
The team nobody's talking about, the Cleveland Guardians have the best record in baseball percentage wise.
They just lost to the Chicago White Sox last night.
That was the Braves.
Oh, it was the Braves.
Braves lost.
Oh, that's right. My bad. They just lost to the Kansas City Royals last night.
Yeah.
There we go. Sure. I'll say Judge hit 63 just because I need to smile today.
All right.
Thank you. What else?
Judge is so good. More likely to make it back to the NBA Finals, Mavericks or Celtics?
Celtics. Come on, dude. Why are you just... You just want me to come over there and just pat you on the back? Like, seriously, you want...
No, you've been talking all week about how the Knicks are now the team to beat in the East.
I have not.
I
have
not.
I
just thought you might want to back
excuse
your play.
Excuse me.
Be a real fan
excuse
and back
me.
Your play.
You, fake news, fake narrative, whatever you want to say right now. I will sit here and moderate and call you out on your lie.
Hold on, I'm freezing.
Listen, buddy, I'll say this to you. I've been sitting here and saying to you this entire week that every single move that the Knicks made, is it good enough?
Oh, okay.
I'm actually wondering if it's good enough. Are we done?
Last one for TJ. How about the coast where Paul George will be playing basketball this year? East or west?
Nice.
Well, to quote the great Notorious B.I.G., if I got to choose a coast, I got to choose the east.
I live out there, but don't go
from
there.
Out there.
You know, he chooses the Sixers over the Clippers any day of the week.
If
Peter's
like...
paying Paul, he would pay Paul
hey, nice.
To go to Philadelphia.
But
okay.
I feel like this. I feel Steve Ballmer, he's got a lot of scratch, right? He's opening up a new home, which is about 15 minutes that way from us. And he's got to have stars to fill this place. I got a feeling that he's going to make a nice little offer to make Paul George stay.
Look at this guy. He roots for teams owned by Steve Ballmer and Steve Cohen. He's got the two richest Steves in sports.
Right? And I still ain't got nothing to show for it.
That's What's More Likely, presented by T. Rowe Price. When you invest directly with T. Rowe Price, you get an experienced partner who empowers you to invest your way so you can meet your financial goals. Visit TRowePrice.com to start your personal investment journey. Let's go to break. I'm going to do my wardrobe change for Oliver Platt of The Bear,
yes,
Season 3. FX's The Bear, exclusively on Hulu, can be seen on Roku. This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier. But then again, there's that axiom. Bigger kids, bigger problems. Like having that conversation about money. The fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that's where Greenlight can help. My wife and I know all about it. Our oldest kid has got a Greenlight card. It's a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. And then that Greenlight app includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or recurring chores customized to your family needs and rewards kids with allowances for a job well done. Again, my wife and I have a Greenlight card for our oldest kid, and you should as well. Millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/rich. That's greenlight.com/RICH to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/rich. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, Oliver Platt is here. Again, Season 3 of FX's The Bear is available for streaming right now exclusively on Hulu, which you can see right here on the Roku platform. And for the radio audience, I changed into my my priceless giveaway that I received from the makers of this outstanding show, because I've been talking about The Bear for so long, the original birth of Chicagoland. I got my shirt on, and I got Uncle Jimmy here. Dude, this show's amazing. You're awesome in it.
Oh, you're very kind. I agree with you that it is a remarkable television show. It's like, you know, it's a writing. I mean, when I got the script, I was like, I didn't trust myself.
What do you mean?
Well, that I'd been working on a Chicago Med for 7 years happily.
Yes.
And it was the only job I needed, only job I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
All the kids were doing, like, you know, what's my hiatus movie going to be? I'm like, my hiatus movie's, you know, on a beach in Maine, right? It's called The Beach in Maine. And But eventually, I was, all of a sudden, I had this panic when they, like, I were on season seven. I was like, man, I need to, like, it's only, I got to go to the gym, mm-hmm. right? I need to remind, I'm a freelancer. I never played one role for 7 years.
Right.
It's unnatural, right? And so I just let my agents know that I would, you know, maybe be, you know. And this is the first thing that I was sent. And
the Bear was the first thing you were sent when you became open to getting some other ideas.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And what was especially magical about it is that it's shot also in Chicago. Not just in Chicago, but on the same frickin' lot.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you must have the Chicago accent down pat just because of that alone, right?
You know, without knowing it, I think I'd been absorbing it, you know?
Right.
The wonderful guys that drive us to work, you know, they come from a lot of these neighborhoods, become my good friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a talker, and we talk going to work and coming back, and I think I just sort of, you know, I must have absorbed it somehow.
It just feels, when I'm watching you play Uncle Jimmy in this, Oliver, that it just rolls off the tongue, that the way it's written, it's something that you can get right away and then add your own special twist to it. It's the way it feels like to me when I'm watching it at home.
I mean, you know, it's I always say it's just the writing.
Yes.
But the amazing thing about Chris, I remember the first time I called him to say hello, because I didn't want to just show up on the set without having even said hello to the guy.
Chris Storer.
So I called him up and I sort of just said, hey, man, how you doing? And I kind of maybe manufactured a question about, a speech that I had or something. And I was like, hey, you know, I wanted to ask you about the, you know, goes, oh, hey, dude, say, can we swear on this show?
Go ahead.
He said, say whatever the f- you want. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, I said, I can say what's written too, right? If I want, right? You know, I mean, he really understands the kind of fluidity of the medium, and he encourages, he loves it when people mess around, you know, and it's just ironic because a lot of the time you're not being encouraged to mess around with stuff that you wish you could.
Sure, exactly. And again, your character is just funny. I mean, just funny without intending to be funny, but intentionally trying to be funny. It's really just great to watch you do your work for this show that is serious and funny at the same time. It is beautiful. It moves you.
So moving. I mean,
and
he sucker punches you. You know what I mean? All the time.
Yes.
Sucker punches you.
No doubt. And I want to ask you about one episode in particular. And I think you're probably going to guess which one it is. It's the Christmas episode, right? From season two. Fishes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the cast that's in this, the regulars, and then John Mulaney, Bob Odenkirk, Jamie Lee Curtis, Sarah Paulson, just to name
a few.
A few. Yeah. What was that like on the set that day, those weeks that you shot that?
You know, it was one of the most. We shot in this little house in Evanston, right? Which is a northern suburb of Chicago.
Where Northwestern is, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was a little house, and then there was like a house across the street where the actors hung out. And I don't know what to tell you, but it was like summer camp. I know a couple of those people had worked with them, mm-hmm. but you know, honestly, you know, I talked with a member of the cast, and you know, we'd been a little like stunt casting, right? Like, in other words, having really famous people play smaller roles than they might. Mm-hmm. It's what gives it a bad name, but it can take people out of the show, because all of a sudden you're going, oh my god, that's, and Chris was. First of all, he's brilliant at casting. So, like, these people were all perfectly cast, right? But he was also really, really deft at sort of, he would introduce them and then they'd go away to let people get used to the idea. And then when, by the time things really kicked in gear in that episode, you were like, also because all these people are, again, so talented. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, one of the things that Chris is really brilliant at is creating a wonderful atmosphere to work in, you know, and it's playful, it's productive, it's it doesn't do a lot of takes, so you have your bags packed, you know what I mean? Like, you need to know your freaking lines, but it's thrilling, you know, and it's just fun.
The scene around the dinner table,
oh,
when Bob Odenkirk, one of the uncles,
right,
tells John Bernthal, who plays, you know, Carmi's brother or soon to be late brother, that starts the whole reason for the bear, right? When he tells him to not, you know, throw another fork, right, at him, and he proceeds to do it, I'm sitting at home thinking, oh my God, this is going to be something. What are you? What is it like? You just mentioned that you're not taking multiple takes when you're sitting around a table.
Not multiple takes, but like, but long takes too. He loves the long take,
right?
You know, as was sort of as he tipped his hand on that with that incredible episode, this episode 7 of the first season, which is like one take in the kitchen when everything goes to hell, right?
Right.
So. But the great thing about that is that it really, because, you know, narrative tension is what you're talking about,
yes,
right? And that's what we all are seeking, certainly as viewers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're all sitting around the table. And listen, shooting scenes around tables can be a nightmare because you do it over and over again because you've got to get all these different angles. But Chris had, you know, his incredible, Drew, his director of photography. They had all the cameras set up. And, you know, these were... The first piece was from when we basically kind of after we sat down, a little bit after we sat down until Jamie enters. I mean, it's about, I don't know, it was 7 or 8 minutes. That's a long, long time. So in other words, the tension got to build. You're sitting there around the table and first of all, it makes you incredible. It's very easy for you to do your job because you're just reacting in real time.
It does.
Oh, absolutely.
It does. Not like, oh God.
I mean,
like,
there's a lot of the stuff that came out of my mouth was because as if you will, the closest thing to a patriarch that around that table, which I was.
Yes.
Watching it get out of hand, I said to Chris between days, I said, dude, I wouldn't let this happen. I got to get in there. He said, get in there. And so that's when I started like. Yelling at people and
trying to keep the peace.
Well, sort of trying to, because I didn't want there to be. I didn't want it. Nobody wanted to throw that fork, you know. Nobody wanted to throw that fork, of course. But as an actor, it's kind of nirvana, right? Because you're the biggest enemy of acting for the screen anyway. Is all the time between takes and cutting the camera. You often do very, very short pieces, right? And I love it. I love crafting these little things. But this was you almost like you're in a little bit of a play. Right?
I was literally going to tell that to you, Oliver, that it felt like I was watching a live performance, that scene, and how it was ratcheting up and how intense it was. And the best compliment I can even remotely pay is I was late to streaming the season for various reasons. And I heard about the Christmas episode. You got to see the Christmas episode. It's unlike any other, and there's a bunch of cameos in it, and I try to stay away from it, and it was better than I expected. Again, the expectation level for me was raised so high.
Rich, when I read that episode,
yeah,
I was really like, I think that might be the best episode of television I've ever read.
No kidding.
But by the way, just because something's awesome on the page doesn't always necessarily, but you know, in this case, I certainly read a lot of, the episode got a lot of attention. We're talking about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to know what's ironic? You Please. Know what is actually my favorite episode of
what's,
that season?
What's that?
Is the next one, which ironically is called Forks. It's the one where Richie goes to the restaurant.
It's beautiful.
I was like recovering from I had an ankle thing going on, and so I like you. I didn't stream it right away because I learned from the like I wanted to have a lot of time because I knew that it was just gonna be I was gonna go boom 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 boom.
You
just want to keep on watching, right?
Yes.
And I was so grateful that I was alone in the basement of my house watching that episode. Because I started to like make all, I just found it deeply moving.
It was beautiful.
I started to like moo like a cow, make all these sort of weird animal noises that I'm just so grateful nobody else was in the house to hear me. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It would be deeply embarrassing even alone. You know, I embarrassed myself alone. I think, And it's confusing because that episode's called Forks, whereas The Fishes is actually about forks.
I know that. Right? You would think that it would be called Forks, but it's about fishes because of
always messing with our heads.
Well, I mean, and again, because then that's one of the many things about the bear that I do love is there's a lot of characters to root for. And Richie, you root for him, and you're just waiting for him for all these episodes to turn a corner, right? To turn a corner. And I don't want to give too much away, but just that episode is beautiful to watch him see, like, locate a corner, like, to actually know one exists. And the way that it was all laid out was kind of a surprise.
Totally.
And beautiful to watch develop. It's a great, man.
But it's also, you know, I think one of the things that Chris also is a real facility for is working with time and flashbacks. Fishes is a flashback, right? Mm-hmm. It happens 5 years before, Mikey's still alive, it happens 5 years before sort of the general chronological area of what you call the present in the bear, right?
Yes.
And what makes it that it's so heartbreaking is that, like, we see Richie and Tiffany, who we know from the rest of, from the show we've already watched, that the relationship doesn't last. You know what I mean? And, I mean, one of my favorite scenes in that, one of my favorite love scenes ever is when Richie goes upstairs. You know, Tiffany's pregnant. She's got morning sickness. He goes up there to check on her. And they just have this wonderful conversation. And it's so affectionate and so real, you know. And that makes what happens in Forks so devastating, right? Because you know, but it's also devastating just to watch that. It's so sad because we know that relationship is not going to last, right? We know that marriage is not going to last. And then at the beginning of Forks, she calls him to tell him, I said, we don't have to worry about spoiler. I mean, everybody's seen.
Go ahead.
Are you worried about your audience not having seen the bear?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
No, go ahead. Just keep going.
Too late, man. It's all your fault.
It's my fault. I'm the one wearing the shirt.
I'm rolling now.
No, it's.
No, but we when she calls him to tell him that she's getting married, remarried, because she doesn't want him to hear from anybody else. And we know that. She's trying to be casual, but we know she's heartbroken because she still, you know, loves the guy. And he's outside that restaurant where he doesn't want to polish the forks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just sets up, I just, the thing about Forks, it's so amazing. I don't think I've ever, we watch, what you want to have happen in a narrative is for a character to change.
Yes.
That's why we watch stories, right? Do we see, what does the story do to this person? How do they change? I have never seen a character change more, undergo a transformation in whatever that episode is, 40, 50 minutes in my life. And again, it's all the setup is there, but
it's beautiful. And by the way, just to put a button on it, your character, I never want to see change. I want you just to be the same, the same dude that you are every damn episode.
Yeah, trying to remember that, Rich.
Never change, Oliver Platt. Never change.
Don't ever change.
Don't ever change. All right, so we have a celebrity true or false that we'd love to play with you here. Okay, here we go. Again, season 3 of FX's The Bear, available for streaming right now exclusively on Hulu. It's time for celebrity true or false with Oliver Platt, and this is don't be blown away too much by our production value. Okay, hit it. Hit it, please.
Celebrity true or false?
You can't the truth.
That's it. That's our production.
That is a great segment, man.
Thank you. And we haven't even spoken
very
about
economical.
It. Thank you. Hey, listen, there's shoestring around here, brother.
I don't think so, man. Look at this place.
First up, true or false, your first paying TV gig was on an episode of The Equalizer, followed by an episode of Miami Vice.
True.
How about them apples?
True.
So your first Oliver Platt showing up? All rosy-cheeked on the episode of The Equalizer?
Yeah, my manager really wanted me to, and he was very smart, because I came up on the stage, and he wanted me to work in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something, it's a really disorienting, it's such an eccentric, weird way. He was just smart. He wanted me to spend some time figuring that stuff out.
And that's you, by the way, on Miami Vice.
Miami Vice.
Were you the only guy to ever wear a bow tie in the history of Miami Vice?
You know, guy, he was an arms dealer.
Is that right?
His name was Speed Styles. And they wanted to be like a, excuse me,
yes.
Sort of like a, you know, a classic. I said, let's turn him into a preppy. Let's make him like a preppy.
This was your twist?
The wardrobe and the glasses and stuff.
And the wardrobe person's like, what's a bow tie for Miami Vice?
It was like season 18. I think they were just like thrilled to have somebody be interested, you know. By the way, legendary television show. No
doubt.
No. But I was thrilled, you know. I was bummed out I didn't get to work with Crockett and Tubbs.
You did not.
Were they Crockett and Tubbs?
Yes, yeah. That's it. Yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't get to work with them.
What the hell?
I know.
What about Edward?
I was being stung undercover by one of the cops.
What about Edward Woodward? Did you work with the legendary Equalizer?
I think I did.
Oh, dude.
I was a thug. And the Equalizer, I didn't have any lines. I was a thug. I was like staring into an aquarium. Well, you know, my cohorts were doing evil in an apartment, literally. But let me tell you something. I was so glad that you know, because work in front of a camera is really weird. So when you first do it, it's just weird, man. It's weird. They do little pieces over and over again. And where do I look and where do I not look? And
well, it worked out for you.
Well, you know.
Well, you're off and running. Second one, Oliver Platt, true or false? You are the second cousin once removed of Princess Diana?
It's kind of the truth.
What do you mean?
My mother has English relatives.
Okay.
And my mom's, I can't remember, but literally it's like she was a second cousin, so I'm once removed.
Okay.
I think they're, my mom's grandmother and her grandfather were brother and sister. I never met her.
Oh, you never? Okay, no. That was the follow-up question.
No, I never met her.
You never went to some royal, you weren't at the, you were invited to the royal wedding?
Actually, was anybody? Check this out.
Okay.
We were invited.
To
the wedding.
Okay.
By by this cousin who, my mom was one of her favorites.
Okay.
An important cousin who was able to, and when her mom found out, you're having these like loser Americans. This way, we got that Elton John, that's Elton John's seat. And no, so we were literally, now listen, hold on. I was in college and I actually kind of regret this because they had such a ball. But I was like, we're just all jumping up and down because, you know, like we don't really know these people and what are we doing?
You were too cool for school to
I was too cool. By the way, the English cousins were so embarrassed about we were literally disinvited. But they were so bad. They were like, please come over. So they ended up like, they went and had like tea with the queen mother. They had like, they had the most amazing seat. They had an absolute ball.
Come on.
And me, I was too cool for school, man. Well,
I would have gone just to see what the hors d'oeuvre setup was, man.
You know, I was a college student. You know that it's a specific breed.
Too young to know.
Yeah, too young to know.
All right. Speaking of college, two more to go. Oliver Platt, celebrity, true or false. You became a Red Sox fan in college. You went to Emerson College, right?
Tufts University.
Tufts. Okay. Tufts University. Pardon me. Red Sox fan. And then you went from hating George Steinbrenner to respecting him after you played George in The Bronx Is Burning.
You know, you can't. One of the reasons I wanted to play George Steinbrenner was because as a Red Sox fan, I detested him. And it's a really, it was a great role. It was in this. It was this like twisted love triangle that between, you know, Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson and Steinbrenner.
George, yeah.
Was sort of talk about dysfunctional, you know, craziness. But it was like, as an actor, you cannot judge any character that you're going to play. You can. You have to like, you know, I had an acting teacher said, like, if you're playing like one of the great villains of history, you need to act like you are standing in front of the pearly gates arguing with God why you should be let in. So you got to get in. You got to see the world from their point of view, right?
Yeah.
I mean, awful, awful people thought that they were helping by doing what they did, right? So I don't want to mention his name, but you know, nobody thinks they're a villain. George Steinbrenner, and by the way, and so in the process of researching him,
yes.
I actually became incredibly impressed by all of the stuff that he actually, you know, he brought like, you tell me if I'm wrong, you wouldn't know better than me.
Yes, sir.
He brought like showbiz to the game.
He said, Ohio, he was a shipbuilder.
He was like, this is an entertainment.
Yes.
Like, all those big, you know, people, mascots with big fuzzy hats on and, you know, people doing dance routines. Steinbrenner started all that stuff.
Well, he wanted nothing to do with anything but winning. That's right. All he wanted. And so you portraying Steinbrenner and John Turturro as Billy Martin.
Oh, my
Martin.
God. He was
Holy
amazing.
Cow.
He
By the way,
amazing.
His brother, John, Nick Turturro, is a crazy-ass Yankee fan. It's the only way to put it. But again, just you playing George. Do you still have the jacket? You got the George jacket, the dickie. Did you wear the white dickie? Did you get that thing going?
We got it all going. Another reason it was terrifying to me is I never play. It's really scary to play a real person.
Yes.
That people can go, oh, I actually know that real person now. Let me see how he's doing. And you got to be very careful. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't do you can't do an impression. You know, like our friend Hank Azaria is so good at.
Yes.
He never does that for this stuff.
Right.
So you have to sort of try and capture the essence. But it was, I don't know, it was just a real challenge. I had to dye my hair red. You know.
I didn't even know he was a redhead. Last one for you. You were cast in the Married to the Mob film. After Bill Murray saw you in a small off Broadway play, and he recommended you to Jonathan Demme.
True, it's true. I was doing this little, my very first thing that I did on stage in New York was this little a one act play festival.
Yeah,
and you know, my beloved dear departed cousin Frankie was his neighbor in the Pacific Palisades.
Was Bill Murray's neighbor?
Yeah, and he said you got to come to my Christmas party, meet Bill. And I went, I was going to go to the Christmas party anyway. And, yeah. And I was, you know, and there was Bill. And Bill was lovely. We had a wonderful conversation. And I was never a natural networker. Yeah. And so at the end of the conversation, Bill says, hey, well, is there something that I could see you in? And I'm like, you know what? As a matter of fact, there is. I never thought that he would come, you know. But it was the day we were closing, the last matinee. I was in this little one-act play after the intermission.
Yeah.
And the guy that owned the place comes back and his like, face is white, and he's like, "This is a little hole in the wall,
yeah.
off Broadway theater." He's like, "Bill Murray's here. And he says he's here to see you." I'm like, not actually the thing you want to tell an actor right before he goes on, but yes. This was the end of the thing, and I was pretty confident what I was doing. Anyway, yeah, we went out and had a nice chat, and you know, somebody dropped out of that movie.
Married to the Mob.
Yep. And on the same day, the casting director for his movie,
mm-hmm.
and Bill said this weird name to him, which Oliver Platt. And it was like, what? And so we went and had lunch together. And the rest is history.
Yeah. There you go. You with Matthew Modine right there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, brother.
I wish I'd kept that jacket.
No doubt. I remember you, too, in Working Girl, because I'm a Staten Islander. That was a big movie for all of us in Staten Island. That you take the ferry to come to the big city, and then suddenly took over.
Yep.
You know, and became big and big business. And I remember that movie. Did you have a good Harrison Ford story? Were you on the set with him at anything like that for Working Girl?
I had a little. That was just a couple just little of little stuff? Things. No, okay. I had this sort of. I never got to know, man. You don't always get to work with with your heroes with the big. When you're starting out, and then when you do, it's terrifying.
Well, you are now, man. Like I said, I'm clearly, you know, wearing this T-shirt, a huge fan of the Bear, and you in it. And this is awesome that you're out here and you get to take some time to come down here.
You're so kind. You really are,
brother.
I appreciate it.
Oh, awesome. And anything you want, we should know about season three, at all?
You know, we're under.
You're under wraps.
Like,
okay. It's out.
They got you. So, well, right. But I mean, let's.
Okay, it's streaming.
I'm literally terrified, like, that the FX death drone is going to come here and, like, inject me with some sort of serum if I say the wrong thing.
We don't need that then?
Yeah, so let's just keep it. Let's just. I got a big day ahead of me. I don't need no drone injecting me right now.
What's the future of it? How many more seasons do you think we got here for the Bear?
If
you had a guess, what do you think?
You know, I think that literally. I happen to know the answer to that question. I'm too terrified to tell you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is there a finite end date? Do we know?
Don't know.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Chef. I appreciate that.
Maybe. Don't know.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It was so much fun.
Oliver Platt, you are the man. Everyone, again, check out season 3 of FX's The Bear, available for streaming right now, exclusively on Hulu. And you can obviously see that right here on the Roku portal. We will be back on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
Philadelphia Eagles, we have that to talk about, too.
Yes, as I'm draped my Eagles paraphernalia.
Now, that's like you got, so you got the green hoodie.
Yeah, I went green hoodie, and then I went satin black jacket black eagle on it. This is subtle. This is subtle. I didn't want to come here and be, you know, blatant with it. This is a subtle.
Yeah, I didn't notice it. It's sort of like a watermark sort of situation that you have
But then you get up close and you're like, whoa, he really is an Eagles fan. He's got a lot.
Yes.
He's got a lot of Eagles stuff. I'm wearing a jersey to the Super Bowl with the Jerome Brown patch.
That's what you're going to do?
Yes. Okay. I got the Randall Cunningham jersey, but my jersey has a Jerome Brown patch.
Well, what will it say on the back? Will it say heart? Will it say your name?
No, it's going to say Cunningham. It's a real jersey.
Okay.
I can't make it say heart. I'm no longer authentic if I make it say heart. It's got to be a real jersey. This is a real moment.
Understand.
It's a big moment for me, man.
This is it.
It's a big game.
What do you think?
What do you mean, what do I think? The score's going to be 83-6. I called it. I put my prediction out there a long time ago.
Okay.
I had a dream. I saw it.
And how many how many touchdowns then for Nick Foles then out of that?
Nick Foles going to throw for 32 touchdowns. 32. It's going to be a grinding game, and Foles is going into this game with so much confidence. After the last game, he's got so much confidence. I don't care what you say. You can't beat confidence. You know how much confidence I have?
Yeah.
You can't beat my confidence. I don't care what you tell me. I'm so confident. I'm so confident. Foles has confidence. Our defense has confidence. We are here. This is where we said we would be in the beginning of the season, and we got here. That's confidence. They're used to being here. That's cocky. That's a little nonchalant, shoulder shrugging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same type of confidence. It's not the same type of hunger. It's a different level of hunger. And these dogs got to eat. Get it? Because they was calling us underdogs.
Yes, I know.
Kevin Hart not too far off on the offensive output. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. If you're on holds down, hold hour threes for that, as well as Akbar Baja Biamila in studio and Will Anderson on a Zoom. But Chris Brockman, you've been inspired by The Bear.
Yes.
Back on FX is The Bear, back on Hulu, right here on the Roku platform if you want to watch it here. What do you have over there?
I got a top 10 Bears power ranking.
Ah, hit it.
Let's go.
Do we have something?
We got nothing. We're getting right to it. We're getting right to it. Number 10.
Yeah.
That bear Anchorman. Remember when Veronica Corningstone fell in and there was a bear and say everything? The bear and Anchorman, TJ, you know what I mean? Save the day.
So that's up on the screen. It's current. It's that bear and Anchorman.
I don't think it really had a name. Okay. That bear and Anchorman,
good.
Right?
Yeah,
oh, yeah. And like Brick was like coming around the bear Brick and Talon. Anchorman.
Okay.
Number 9.
Yeah.
The Swirsky Brothers. The whole Da Bear skit from Saturday Night Live back in the day. That's number 9. That's just absolutely legendary.
Very good. Recently brought back to life at the
Mike
Big
Myers
Slick.
Myers and Chris Farley, God rest his soul.
Joe Mantegna.
Yeah, Joe Mantegna. And who am I blanking on?
Robert Smigel.
Robert Smigel.
Mike Myers. Okay.
The Swirsky Brothers. Number 9. Number 8. Number 8, been reading a lot of these books with Cage lately. He loves them. Very, very classic.
Berenstain Bears. Okay, very good.
The Berenstain Bears. It was like 50, 60 of these books.
Okay.
They're so good.
Okay.
Number 7, a proud Cal. He's number 7. You're going to realize in a second because that's what number jersey he wears.
Yes.
Jaylen Brown, proud Cal Bear.
Oh.
Jaylen Brown, NBA Finals. Champion, MVP, Cal Bear, Jaylen Brown, wore number 7 for the Celtics. He is number 7.
Thank God he didn't wear number 1.
On this list.
He would have been number 1.
How about 0?
He absolutely would have been. On. That's so disrespectful. Number 6. He's foul mouth, but you love him. Ted. Ted is number 6.
Okay.
The teddy bear, Ted.
Thunder Buddies.
Thunder Buddies with Mark Wahlberg. A great movie with Seth MacFarlane and the Sulk. Number 6 is Ted. Top 5.
Bears. This is your Bears power ranking.
Bears power rankings of all time. Number 5, Bear Bryant, the legendary Alabama head coach.
All righty.
But I actually screwed this up because I wanted to do the Bear Bryant from the Forrest Gump movie. That guy was way cooler probably than the actual Bear Bryant. Number 4, classic Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
Number 4.
All right. For the kids.
For the kids.
For the kids.
For the kids. An all-time great bear, Winnie the Pooh.
Tigger and Piglet.
All right.
Number 3.
Bring it home.
Number 3, you may know him as the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus.
Okay.
The second greatest golfer of all time, Jack Nicklaus, the Golden Bear.
All right. Arnold Palmer being number 1.
Number 2.
Tiger Woods.
Number 2, the Bear TV show, obviously. Number 2, the Bear TV show. Okay.
All right.
This is such a great quality program. Mm-hmm. I really hope you're all watching. You should be. Oliver Platt, everybody on the show. It's great. And number 1
is?
It's obvious. It's Walter Payton, people. He's the greatest bear of all time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Walter Payton, sweetness. The greatest bear of all time. Number 34.
Okay.
You think we need one more?
Oh,
sure.
All right, we'll get one more.
You got one more, Chris?
I'll do it.
Rich,
since I'm the only one who can do it.
You handle this.
But here's the one more. Donnie Donowitz from Inglourious Basterds, a.k.a. the Bear Jew.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm the only one who can do that. You know what? You, Jay Felly, are the Rich Eisen Show Bear Jew.
That was my Halloween costume one year.
I bet.
Wait, really?
Yeah, nobody knew what it was.
I imagine.
It looked like a hillbilly with a bat. But.
Well, hopefully you didn't take anybody out with the bat. Well, unless they were Nazis.
I'm the only one who could do this.
There you go. And you're like, you are the Bear Jew of the Rich Eisen Show.
We've got lots of bats.
Careful. Yeah, there's lots to choose from. Lots to choose from. Good job, Chris.
Well done,
I like
everybody.
That. I like that.
Good job.
Top 10 bears.
Who knew we needed that? Back here on the Roku channel still. Well done.
A lot of bears when you look through history.
I thought you were putting Cocaine Bear in there somewhere.
Cocaine Bear.
You couldn't do that when you put your son's favorite bear.
Right, that's what I mean. I wanted to put the bears
in there. And then you put Winnie the Pooh in there. Not very Disney, the Cocaine Bear.
You know what I mean?
At all.
And I wanted the Coca-Cola Polar Bears. Okay. Also honorable mention.
What else?
I wanted to somehow sneak in Devin Hester, but.
Top 20. I think.
Not a top
Walter
20.
Payton covered it. Yeah. The gratuitous mention of a Cal Bear. I mean, you could have put Aaron Rodgers in there.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. He has the same number of championships as Jaylen Brown.
Not for long.
He's definitely going to the Hall of Fame. Jaylen Brown's on a path. Yeah. I mean, of all the Cal Bears for you to choose.
One of them actually could be president someday, so.
Who's that? Jaylen Brown?
Yeah.
Okay.
My godson Bear, we could have put him in there because he's a star on the flag football field. So,
right.
You know. A lot of bears.
Great
you did
list.
A good job, man.
Great
you could have done a top 20 bears, I think.
I mean, sure. Could have just named a whole bunch of Chicago Bears. You know
Richard Dent, Steve Mongo. McMichael.
Good job.
Fridge.
Oh, boy. Are we just making chicken salad on the Rich Eisen Show this week, huh? With my power rankings of all things French, followed up with your power rankings of all things bear. Good job.
It's June 28th.
Sadly,
man.
We're out of time.
Yes.
Power this week in June, as well as this hour. Will Anderson coming up next with Akbar Baja Biamila and your phone calls right behind him.
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.